सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भा शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमा अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ता वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवीत्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवीत्वरम्। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणचक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्व निराकरणं मेऽस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। I think let's chant the second mantra together. That's good one. Everybody should try and memorize. So just the second mantra. Shrotrasya shrotram manaso mano yat vacho vacham sa upranasya pranah chakshuscha chakshurratimuchya dhirah प्रेत्यास्मा लोकादमृता भवन्ति। सो इन दिस शॉर्ट बट वेरी वेरी पावरफुल उपनिषद वी हैव कवर्ड फोर मंत्रास एंड बेसिकली द स्टूडेंट आस्क्स द क्वेश्चन व्हाट इज इट दैट मेक्स द माइंड अलाइट ऑन ऑब्जेक्ट्स व्हाट एनलिवेंस द आई द ईयर द प्राणास the breath, the mind, and the speech. So the sense organs, organs of action, pranas, and the antakarana, mana, buddhi, chit, ahankar, what is it that illumines all that? And the teacher answers the second mantra, shrotrasya shrotram, manaso manoyat, etc. So it is the eye of the eye, the mind of the mind, the ear of the ear, and so on. And last week, Sharad had asked a question on this mantra number 2, whereon it is said in the second part of the stanza, there is a clear indication that the seeker, after departing from the world, attains immortality. Tetyas ma lokad amrita bhavanti. So the mantra says that for the seeker to become immortal, Pretya means after death. So asmat loka. So from this loka, when a person dies, then he will become immortal. So Gurudev says that you know, there are two schools of thought. One school directly literally interprets. That means that only a person who is dead can achieve perfection. So as long as we are in this body, we cannot achieve perfection. That is what that one says, that perfection cannot be achieved so long as we are living in this physical body, and a great mind to achieve perfection has to shed his mortal coil. So Shankaracharya ji disagrees with that, because then if that is the case, that a person has to die to attain immortality or perfection, then, you know, we would say Vedvyas ji was not perfect, Shankaracharya ji was not realized, Puja Gurudev, Swami Vivekananda, you know, Sant Gyaneshwar, Mirabai, all the realized masters, they all achieve realization in this life itself, not after death. So then Shankaracharya ji interprets this as death of the ego, that in this world, a person who is dead to the ego, then he becomes dead to the world. Then the world is no longer important for him. World is no longer has any relevance. He will function in the world as a transactional entity, but does not give reality to the world, because he always abides in that state of enlightenment, in that state of realization. And so that's why there are two schools of thought. And according to Shankaracharya ji, the second school of thought is valid, because otherwise there would be no realized masters left to teach us. The fact that they have stayed to teach even after enlightenment, so that supports the second theory of Shankaracharya ji. Sharad, does that answer your question? Yeah. So anyway, so this particular Upanishad, as I was thinking about it, it is so practical, so easy to apply, that whenever we are doing anything, you just pay attention. What, like you are listening right now, what is the eye of the eye that is seeing? What is the ear of the ear that is listening? What is the mind of the mind that is thinking? Mm-hmm. And any activity you can be doing. I was driving back from San Francisco 2-3 days ago, and it was a 4-hour drive. And on the way on I-5, hour or hour and a half, I had no radio, no music. I was just contemplating upon this. What is the eye that is seeing the freeway? What is the ear that is listening to the traffic, the mind that is thinking? So this you can apply doing anything, doing dishes, vacuuming, even sitting, watching TV. You think, who is that is watching this soap opera or this, you know, whatever you are watching on TV? So that's why I find that
it's the ego.
Ego is watching, but who is behind the ego? Who is behind the ego and living the ego, allowing it to watch the soap opera? That is who I am. So again, this Atma or Brahman is not somebody else. That I am. That's why teacher says, Tadeva Brahma Tvam Vidhi. You know that Brahman, that one alone. Na etat par etat idam. Upasate, not what we worship or what we see,
right,
but what is I am, what is the Brahman. And teacher says, I cannot teach you, because Brahman is not an object, it is the subject. So any words, any teaching will limit to the object. To know the subject, the seeker has to listen to the words of the teacher, contemplate upon it, and then internalize and go within as to what is this entity that is enlivening my speech, my mind, my eyes, and so on. So that is how. And when he says that it is not what you worship, it does not mean that you should not worship Bhagwan, Sri Ram, or Lord Krishna, or Lord Shiva. What it means is that these idols that you are worshipping are indicators. They are of that supreme truth. They are not the supreme truth by itself. Otherwise, what happens, people think, oh, this idol alone is, that means my Ram or my Shiva or my Krishna alone is truth, and everything else is not Brahman. So what he's saying is, use the idol to take you to the ideal. So that is that. So this, when you see Sri Ram or Sri Krishna or Shiva, find out what is the Ram Tattva or the Shiva Tattva. What is the essence behind that? And that is Brahman, and that I am. So this is what he has summarized so far. And there was one other point when he says, I am infinite. You know, when I say I am Brahman, I am infinite, then any praise you give to that person, he will say, you are degrading me, a realized master. If you tell the realized master, Maharaj, sir, you are the greatest teacher in the world, he'll say, you are degrading me because I am infinite. So calling me a teacher is actually insulting me. Or if you say you are the most evolved sage and we have never found anybody like you, he says, again, you are degrading me because anything less than infinite is degradation. So when I say I am infinite means I am complete, I am full. And that is what this Aham Brahmasmi means, that nothing else can compare to that, what you call, status. So that's where we are. Now we'll go to mantra number 5. Ambika, you want to chant, please? Yan manasa na manute.
Yan manasa na manute.
Yena hurmano matam.
Yena hurmano matam.
Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi.
Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi.
Nedam yadidam upasate.
Nedam yadidam upasate.
So yat, yaha, yan is yat, that which manasa na manute, that which the mind cannot think about. Mind cannot think about, mind cannot contemplate. Mind can never reach that. But yena, by which, ahur, ahur means they say, the great master say. So the rishi here of the Gain Upanishad is quoting other masters saying, by which it is said, mano matam, the mind is illumined or given the energy to think by that. So that which mind cannot reach, but that which is innervating the mind, tad eva, that alone brahma tvam vidhi, know that alone to be Brahman. So that alone means there is only one Brahman. All this world is an illusion. Brahman alone is tvam vidhi. You know that very well. He says, na idam yad idam upasate. He is repeating what he had said in the fourth mantra. Na idam yad idam upasate. Not that which, this which you are worshipping. That is not the Brahman, but that which is the substratum of that, of everything. So what is mind? So Gurudev in his commentary says it very beautifully, that mind is nothing but a flow of thoughts. Just as a river is a flow of water, if there's stationary water, you will call it a lake or a pond. You won't call it a river. So mind is that which is a constant flow of thoughts. And mind is that which interprets whatever the sense organs are bringing. The eyes bring the, you know, sight, the ears bring the sound. So the mind interprets, and then the mind is controlled by the intellect, which decides, you know, what to do, what not to do. The mind presents to the intellect, and the mind and intellect are both energized and livened by the self. So that's why he says, yena ahur mano matam. But the mind cannot think of this consciousness, even though you and I are thinking and talking about it. But that is still objectifying it. You're saying, oh, this consciousness. So that immediately you're objectifying.
I'm limiting it.
You're limiting. So when you say, I am that consciousness, that is the clear understanding. And why is the mind not able to know the consciousness? You know, they say, manasa na manute, because of the power of maya. Maya has two powers, avarana and vikshepa. You have heard that, but briefly, avarana means the power of veiling, and vikshepa means the power of projecting. So the total mind, which is maya, the Brahman is veiled from that mind, and then the mind projects this whole world. Similarly, you and I, we are not able to know that Brahman as me, so that veiling of our ignorance, not knowing I am Brahman, not knowing that Brahman is me, I with that avarana, I then vikshepa, then I project this world of objects, that this is my house, my spouse, my children, this is I like, I don't like. So all this world of duality is projected by us out of ignorance. And the mind itself is inert. So anything the mind perceives cannot be Brahman. In fact, I was reading in the commentary, even if you say are doing upasana or puja and or meditating, and some people see, like if you're meditating on Lord Shiva or whatever, you might see the form of Lord Shiva in your meditation or in your doing puja, or when you're seeing the crescent moon, you may see the form of Lord Shiva. But that also is not the ultimate, because whatever vision appears will disappear. So even though people say, oh, I had darshan of Bhagwan Sri Krishna or Sri Rama, or they came to me, that is good. We are not saying that is not good. And definitely upasana must be done, because upasana, without upasana, to reach that highest goal is impossible, I think. Directly, you can't go to I am Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi. That is not going to happen. Upasana is an essential ladder to go up. So that's why, and one has to go beyond this, this name and form, to that which is the essence of this name and form. Next mantra, Sharad, you want to chant number 6? Yat chakshusha na pasyati.
Yat chakshusha na pasyati.
Yena chakshugam shi pasyati.
Yena chakshum shi pasyati.
Tadeva brahma tvam vidhi.
Tadeva brahma tvam vidhi.
Nedam yadidam upasate.
Nedam yadidam upasate.
Yeah, so yat chakshusha, through the eye, na pasyati. So the eye cannot see it. The eye cannot see this Brahman. Yena chakshu shi pasyati. By that, the eye can see. So as he had said, it is the eye of the eye. So it is because of the presence of Atma, consciousness, Brahman. It is because of that that my eye is able to see. But the eye cannot see that. So whatever you see with the eye is a vision. But you have to go beyond the vision to the essence of that. And that alone, Brahma Tvam Vidhi. Know that to be Brahman. That which enlivens the eyes. Not what na idam yadidam upasate. Not one that is being worshipped. That is a vision. That is the essential step, but that is not the ultimate. So what is this mantra? So what is the meaning of mantra? You know, these are in Upanishad, we call them mantra. In Bhagavad Gita, we call them shlokas. And in others, you know, there are different chapais in Ramayana and also. In English, there is only one word, verses. That includes everything. But we have different name for mantra, for shlokas, for chapais, all that. So what is mantra? The word mantra comes from mananat trayate iti mantra. Mananat. So by contemplation, trayate, which protects you, that is mantra. So what is mantra? By contemplating upon the meaning of the mantra, not only the chanting, that is good, to memorize the chanting, but also to contemplate on the meaning, it protects you from all worldly issues, all worldly problems, protects your mind. So that is mantra, that which protects your mind by contemplating upon it. So when we think of chakshu, eyes, that eyes cannot see and because of which eyes can perceive, reminds me of this shloka from Dakshina Murti Stotram. Nana Chidra Ghato Darasthita Maha Deepav Prabhabhaswaram Jnanam Yasyatu Chakshuradikarna Dwarabahi Spandate जानामीति तमेव भान्तमनुभात् एतत् समस्तं जगत् तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये. सो ही गिव्स अ ब्यूटिफुल एग्जाम्पल. नाना छिद्र घट उदर यथा दीपा प्रभा भास्वरम. सो यू नो फॉर दिवाली और नवरात्रि वी मेक दिस सर्क्युलर यू नो फानुस एंड देन पुट अ लाइट इन द मिडल और दे पुट अ पॉट यू नो एंड पुट अ लाइट इन द मिडल विच हैज होल्स एंड इन हैलोवीन दे ऑल्सो डू दैट पुट अ लाइट इन द मिडल एंड देन हैव अ पॉट विथ होल्स एंड पम्पकिन विथ होल्स एंड द लाइट goes out through the holes to illumine the surroundings. So that example is used by Shankaracharya ji. He says, same way the light of consciousness, that is me, goes through the various sense organs to illumine the sight, sound, taste, touch, smell. Through the mind, it illumines the emotions. Through the intellect, it illumines the thoughts. So all the my abilities to know come from this light of consciousness, that is Dakshinamurti Bhagwan, that is Lord Shiva. This whole Dakshinamurti Stotram is for Lord Shiva, who presents as Guru, as Dakshinamurti. So he says, to that Guru I prostrate, whose light of consciousness allows me to see everything, to hear everything. जानामि तमेव भान्तम अनुभाति. यू नो वी चैंट इन ऑल्सो अवर तदेव भान्तम अनुभाति सर्वम व्हेन वी डू द आरती. सो आई नो दैट इट इज बिकॉज ऑफ दैट लाइट ऑफ कॉन्शियसनेस विच इज विद इन एंड विदाउट. इट इज दैट लाइट ऑफ कॉन्शियसनेस विद विच आई एम एबल टू सी. सो द अटेंशन गोज फ्रॉम द सीन टू द सीयर. As we had talked about last week in the Rig Drishya Vivek, from the objects to the eyes to the mind and then to the seer. So in our meditation, we have to contemplate upon that light of consciousness that is illumining. There's a story of Parvati ji, and she, you know, asked Lord Shiva, because whenever she came to see me, 90% of the time Bhagwan was in meditation. Rarely he had time for her. So she asks him, Bhagwan, the whole world meditates upon you. You know, you are the Lord of the entire universe. So whole world meditates on you. Why do you need to meditate? Who do you meditate on? Tell me that. You are a world is meditating on you, but you are meditating on what? So he says, I meditate on myself. So myself does not mean Shiva the form, but the self, the consciousness. So even Bhagwan Shiva, when he meditates on that formless entity, which is the Shiva Tattva. So this is the one about the eyes. So the eyes are illumined by that one consciousness. Now we'll do
Seven.
number seven. Pallavi, you want to chant?
I think it's the same theme then.
It's the same theme, but we'll try to get different aspects of that. We did already the mind, we did the eyes, now we'll do the ears. Yat shrotre na shrunoti, shrotre na shrunoti.
Yat shrotre na shrunoti,
Yena shrotramidam tata shrutam.
yena shrotramidam shrutam.
तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि
तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विधि
नेदं यदिदमुपासते.
नेदं यदिदमुपासते.
सो यत् श्रोत्रेण, श्रोत्र मीन्स इयर्स. सो थ्रू द इयर्स न श्रुणोति. इयर्स कैन नॉट हियर अबाउट इट. सो दे से वेल देन व्हाई आर वी सिटिंग एंड लिसनिंग ऑन ट्यूजडे. यू नो वी कुड बी हैविंग लंच और वॉचिंग टीवी. Ears cannot hear it, but yena shrotram idam shrutam. But whatever the ear can hear, that is by that. So by that, yena means third vibhakti. By that, this ear can listen. So that which the ear cannot hear, but that energy, that enlivening presence, that consciousness, by which this ear is illumined, that alone, Brahma Tvam Vidhi, you know that alone to be Brahman, not that na edam yadidam upasate, not that you which you are worshipping. So again and again, he's telling the student, do not get limited to one particular form, name and form of God, but see that this Lord Shiva of mine is the entire formless universe. Krishna is not only limited to that idol, but Krishna is the essence of this whole universe. That's why Bhagwan in the 11th chapter we had talked about shows this entire Vishwaroop in him, which there are all the planets, all the 14, you know, lokas are seen, even heaven, hell, patal, everything, past, even past, present and future, what has passed, what is happening, and what will happen. Bhagwan shows to Arjuna to show him that I am not only this individual called son of Devaki and Vasudev, but I am that supreme consciousness that is manifested on this earth. And he says, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So that total consciousness, Brahman, has taken the form of Bhagwan Shri Krishna to establish dharma and remove adharma, to establish right ideas, remove wrong ideas, to support the right people, protect the right people, and punish the evil. That's why he took the side of the Pandavas and made sure the Kauravas were destroyed because they were evil. And to re-establish dharma, because while the Kauravas were ruling for 13 years, when the Pandavas were in the forest, the adharma was there in Hastinapur, everywhere. So to remove adharma and to establish dharma. Now, when we talk about year, what is the deity of the year? What is the celestial power? The lord of the year is space. You know, just as the lord of the eye is fire, the lord of earth is nose is earth, so the lord of year is space. So why do we use the example of space? Because the space is the closest to Brahman. You know, because space is all pervading, it is inside, outside, everywhere, everything is in space. Space is in and outside everything, just as Brahman is inside and out everything. And there is nothing which where space is not, even in the microscopic of the cell, in the mitochondria, you know, little parts of the cell, space is there. So space is subtler than the subtlest, bigger than the biggest. And when one understands that I am that Brahman, and I am that Brahman, then what about this world? So we have this, I heard this very beautiful, we have this idea that the world was there, I came into this world, you know, whatever, 60, 70, 50 years ago, I came into this world, I will live in this world, and I will go, and the world will remain, right? World was there, I came into the world, I will go, the world will continue. But a Mahatma says, no, a realized master says, no, I was already there, in me the world has appeared. The world will perish, but I will remain. See, that's a very important thing, that I was there before this whole universe was created. In me, this universe has been created, and it will perish, the universe, at the time of Pralay, but I, the consciousness, will remain. That's why in Kaivalya Upanishad, when the student attains enlightenment from the teacher, having heard, there's a very beautiful mantra in that. Mane mayeva sakalam jatam, mai sarvam pratishthitam, मयि सर्वं लयं याति तद् ब्रह्माद्वयम् अस्मि अहम्। सो ही सेज आई एम दैट सुप्रीम ब्रह्मन इन मी दिस होल यूनिवर्स हैज अरिजन इन मी दिस यूनिवर्स इज सस्टेन्ड एंड इन मी द यूनिवर्स गोज इन टू लय। सो द सेम आइडिया इज इन कैवल्य उपनिषद एंड दैट ब्रह्मन आई एम अद्वयम आई एम दी नॉन डुअल ब्रह्मन एंड दैट इज मी। सो हियरिंग और स्पेस रेप्रेजेंट्स दैट दैट सुप्रीम ब्रह्मन बिकॉज ब्रह्मन और कॉन्शियसनेस इवन सटलर देन स्पेस इवन मोर परवेसिव देन स्पेस। In fact, as we had said in Purush Suktam, only a quarter of Brahman has become this 14 worlds, and three quarters of it is beyond. So the Brahman is way beyond space. Space is only a quarter of that. So talking about hearing, you know, that the ears cannot hear it, and because of which the ears hear, so it reminds me of a story. So this man goes to the doctor and says, "Doctor, my wife cannot hear. Her hearing is suffering like anything. I want you to come." The doctor was his friend. So he says, "Can you come to my house and I'll show you my wife cannot hear." So the doctor walks in with him. So he knocks on the door and knocks, unlocks the door and says, "Honey, I am home. What is for lunch?" And there is no answer. He says, "See, she can't hear." He goes a little closer. "I'm home. What is for lunch?" "See, she can't hear." He goes a little closer to the door of the kitchen. "I'm home. What is for lunch?" Doctor, he says, "See, she can't hear." He goes closer. "I'm home. What is for lunch?" "See, she's not answering." He goes very close to her and shouts loudly, "I am home. What is for lunch?" She said, "For the fifth time, I'm telling you, it is chicken for lunch." So he cannot hear Brahman, she can or cannot hear the truth. So that is what it says. It is the ear of the ear. It is because of which the ear is able to hear and then pass on this message to the mind, and then mind to the intellect, and then the intellect and mind are energized by the self, because of which the senses are able to see. The eyes, ears, nose, tongue, all the senses, and the pranas, and the mind and intellect, and the mana, buddhi, chit, ahankar, all of them are able to function, even speech. Speech represents organs of action, hands, feet, speech, and so on. And sense organs, organs of action, all the five pranas, prana, apana, vyana, samana, udana, and the antakarana, the mana, buddhi, chit, ahankar. Hansaben, you want to do the next one? Yat pranena praniti.
यत् प्राणेन
येन प्राणः प्रणीयते
प्राणीयते
तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि
तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि
नेदं यदिदमुपासते।
नेदं यदिदमुपासते
सो यत् प्राणेन प्राणीति गुरुदेव ट्रांसलेट एज दैट बाय विच द प्राण ब्रीथ्स। सो दैट बाय विच द प्राण फंक्शंस द
वाइटल
वाइटल एयर एंड दैट विच मेक्स नॉट ओनली प्राणस ऑल द फाइव प्राणस प्राण अपान समान व्यान उदान दि इनटेक द एक्सक्रीशन सर्क्युलेशन डाइजेशन एंड उदाना विच एट द टाइम ऑफ डेथ। सो ऑल द फाइव प्राणस फंक्शन बिकॉज ऑफ दैट प्रेजेंस ऑफ बट प्राणस कैन नॉट नरिश इट। सी प्राणस नरिश एवरीथिंग एल्स इन द बॉडी लाइक द एयर वी ब्रीथ द फूड वी ईट यू नो द एयर गेट्स मूव्ड फ्रॉम द लंग्स थ्रू द सर्क्युलेशन इन टू द ऑल द सेल्स। The food that we eat gets digested and then the circulatory system carries it to all the individual cells, you know, all to the extreme edge, up to the nails and everything here. Everything is nourished by the pranas, but the conscious, even the mind and intellect is nourished by pranas, because that's why they say, if suppose somebody is fasting too much and doesn't eat for a while, even his mind or her mind doesn't function that well. So fasting too much can be harmful. Within reason, it should be done for self-control, but those who overdo it, then their mind or even thinking, that's why a person who has fasted for many days, he's not able to think properly. So pranas nourish everything else in this body, the sense organs, organs of action, the gross body and the subtle body, the mana, buddhi, chit, ahankar, mind, intellect, memory and ego. So everything is nourished by the pranas, but except for that consciousness, which cannot be nourished by the pranas, but which nourishes all the pranas. Because if this consciousness was not functioning through my body, I wouldn't be able to breathe. That's why they say, na, uske prana chale gaye. His life is gone, when that means the consciousness is no longer reflected in the mind and intellect. So the consciousness is the unconditioned consciousness, but the mind and intellect is the reflected consciousness. And when the consciousness reflects in the mind and intellect, which is subtle, then the whole body is nourished, able to function. The example they give of the bucket, that the sun is equal to the unconditioned consciousness. Then the sun reflected in the bucket water. The water is like the mind and intellect. It is subtle. It has the ability to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
A bucket cannot reflect. The mud cannot reflect. But water can reflect. So the sun that you see in the sky is equal to Brahman. And the sun seen in the bucket of water is like the conditioned consciousness. So that consciousness, when it reflects in my mind and intellect, is the conditioned consciousness, which enlivens. And then just as the bucket is surrounded by, the water is surrounded by the bucket, so the mind and intellect is kind of in and outside the body. Mind is subtler than the body, but the brain, you can say, or the ability to think is there. So it's just through the mind and intellect, the body is innervated. Or same way, when the light of the sun shines in the bucket, and if the bucket, there is a window in front of the bucket, if the light is reflected, the bucket will illumine even the room through the window. So similarly, the light of consciousness, when it reflects in the mind and intellect, it energizes the pranas, energizes the body, energizes this. So Gurudev gives many examples, like like an iron ball. You know, when an iron ball is there, and if it is red hot, then what does that mean? That iron itself doesn't have the property of heat. If you see the iron ball red hot, that means it has been in contact with fire. Or he gives the example of a bulb. The bulb is like the body. The electricity is like Brahman, and the filament is like the subtle body. So the electricity functioning through the filament energizes the bulb. So the bulb gets light because of electricity, but electricity itself cannot give light to the bulb. It needs the filament where the electricity flows. So the filament is equal to the mind and intellect. So the mind, so consciousness itself cannot energize the body. The consciousness reflects in the mind and intellect. And the mind and intellect is subtle. It is like the water in the bucket, like the filament in the bulb. And it has the ability to reflect that consciousness. So it is a reflected consciousness. And whatever you see is the prabhava, is the manifestation of the effect of that consciousness. This whole world, if you see that it was created, then there has to be a creator. And that is Ishvara, which is consciousness functioning through prakriti, through maya, creates this whole universe. So when you see an effect, there has to be a cause. And then that cause has to be the uncaused cause. See, you say now, oh, God created the world. Children ask, then who created God? Nobody, because God was self-created, was always there. And that is the Swayambhuta. Swayambhuta means self-created. So this consciousness was always there. In that consciousness, this world appears as an illusion. So the Gurudev, the example of the state, you know, like we are living in the United States. Now, United States is everywhere, from sea to shining sea, you know, they say from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And in that ocean, in that state, there is a president, a secretary of defense, vice president, you know, then there are governors and mayors and city council and county supervisors. So they all get their strength from the state. The state is formless, but the state manifests as all these rulers, and also whatever we see, the roads, the buildings, the highways, the bridges, the trains, everything is that state. In that state, we see all the rulers, and we see the ruled, the people, then we see the animals, birds, plants, the trains, the railway tracks, the highways. So similarly, in that Brahman, this consciousness, which is formless, all this appear, all this what we see. And everything gets its potencies from Brahman, just as the state is the one that gives power to the president. That's why they say the power vested in me by the United States of America, you know, I pledge to serve and all. Or in India, the prime minister says, you know, I represent the government of India, Bharat, which is, you know, the cause of my, which is giving me the power to rule. So same way, all the potencies of the world are given to the world by Brahman. And how do we know it? So in Vivek Chudamani, there is a very beautiful shloka. Yat param sakala vaga gocharam, gocharam vimala bodha chakshushah, shuddha chit ghanamanadi vastu yad, brahma tattvam asi bhavayatmani. So yat param sakala vak agocharam. So that which is supreme, which is beyond everything. Param, it is supreme beyond everything. Vak agocharam. Speech cannot know it. So then the student asks, if speech cannot know it, then how can I know it? So in this shloka, Shankaracharya ji says, yat param sakala vak agocharam. Gocharam vimala bodha chakshu shaha. So it can be known by bodha chakshu, the eye of wisdom, the eye of consciousness, which is vimala. Vimala means pure. So you need to have a pure mind, free of negativities. Vimala bodha chakshu. So the light of consciousness, the eye of wisdom, you can say. It's not the light of consciousness. It is the eye of wisdom, which is vimala, which is pure. So the mind and intellect has to be pure. And that pure mind and intellect becomes the eye of wisdom, which can know this Brahman. So that's why they say sadhan chatushtaya. You know, you need to have all this vivek, vairagya, shat sampatti, purify your mind, shama, dama, uparati, all that. So the pure mind, in a pure mind, only this knowledge can stay, just as in a pure vessel, only milk can stay. If a vessel is dirty or sour or contaminated, the milk will get spoiled. So similarly, this knowledge can only come in a pure mind. So that's why again and again, Bhagwan in the Bhagavad Gita, everywhere he says, you know, the same thing, that Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo niramka. So we should not have hatred for anybody. There should be love and compassion. There should not be I and my ego. So all these negativities have to be purified for this knowledge to reach, to abide, for me to abide in this knowledge. I may hear it, or I may even read the Upanishads, read Gurudev's commentary, but the knowledge will not take root until I purify my mind. Does not mean that I have to wait till the end when all my raga, dvesha, you know, all my anger, greed, jealousy, that may not happen, but we keep getting the knowledge, and the knowledge will help to purify. And as you purify, the knowledge becomes clearer. So my effort should be to purify my all this raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, anger, greed, jealousy, all those. I should, arrogance, pride, I should remove, and then the knowledge will come. And it says the individual has to realize the self by himself, in himself. So only I can realize this for myself within me. The guru can only give us the roadmap. Guru can point it. Guru is like the GPS. But then I have to get in the car and drive. The GPS cannot drive. So guru can give us the knowledge. The scriptures can give us the knowledge, and the guru interprets the scriptures. And the scriptures that we have are from thousands of years, and they have been confirmed by various Mahatmas, various rishis. Thousands of rishis have independently confirmed this knowledge. Unlike some of the other religions where there is one prophet who came and one book. And that is good, you know, if people follow that one prophet, one book, and one teaching. But the Upanishads give a wide variety of, you know, methods to study. Not only if you can't study Upanishads, study the Brahma Sutras, or study the, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, or study Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, Puranas. So there are so many, depending on our mental state. That's why also our children in Bal Vihar, we teach them according to the grade. So same way as the individual also, we progress in our spiritual journey. You can start with simple things like Ramayana, Mahabharata, Purana. And we, in fact, it's not start, that continuously helps. That's why every Tuesday, 7:30 to 9, we listen to Pooja Guruji. Now he's doing Srimad Bhagavat, because this knowledge continuously needs to be nourished by bhakti. So knowledge alone is not enough. So bhakti through Ramayana, Mahabharata, Puranas and all nourish this. And then the individual who has both bhakti and jnanam together can fly to the highest goal, which is the self within me, that is by myself, in myself. So that way they say by himself, in himself. And that is the essence of these four mantras.
Finished the first chapter.
Yeah, it finishes the first chapter. The eight mantras are of the first chapter. The second chapter is a totally somewhat different teaching. It's a little harder, but I'll try to study that, and we'll cover that next week. But this basically tells us that it is the eye of the eye, the mind of the mind, the prana of the prana, the speech of the speech. So constantly, whenever we remember, shift your attention from the eye to who is the seer of the eye, from the ear to who is the hearer of the ear, from the mind to who is the thinker of the mind, and from the pranas, who is the one that is nourishing the pranas. So anytime when you're breathing, you can even say, okay, I'm breathing. Why? What is the breath of the breath? So just shift your attention. And it is very simple. That's why I found this particular Upanishad is, like, up to now is simple. Now it gets harder. But it is direct. It is a straight method to the truth. There is no beating around the bush. Right from the second mantra after the question, immediately the teacher reveals the truth. And then later on expands on it. So that is it's a very, very beautiful Upanishad. Everybody should read it and start applying that. When you're standing at a traffic light, who is the one seeing the light? Who is the one hearing the traffic? Who is the one driving? Who is the one breathing. So constantly just shift your attention from the activity to the doer, the seer. The doer means not the doer, but the power behind the doer. The energy behind the mind, the energy behind the activity. So we'll end here. We have about 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions or comments, Neeru, anything else? Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
You know, I always think, though, you know, you may be saying the eye of the eye and the ear of the ear, but, you know, if you're driving your car and all of a sudden you see a dog run out in the road, man, I don't know. You're not going to be thinking about the eye of the eye. You're going to be thinking
no,
about...
No, no, no. Same. Yes. No, you're absolutely right. No, no. When you're driving, your attention should be on driving. I'm not saying that. But... But like I was on I-5 where, you know, for 100 miles, nothing is there. So then you can do that. But yeah, no, when you're driving, you have to pay attention. You can't go through the red light. Absolutely. You're totally right. When a dog comes, you can't say who is the one that is behind the eye. What I'm saying is when you have a silent moment, then shift your attention to that. Not while driving, but that's why I said when you're stopped at a traffic light, then you can do that.
Okay.
On any other work which is
does
not need attention.
Attention, like doing the dishes, vacuuming.
They become
folding the laundry, you know, that doesn't need much thinking. So then you can do that. Yes.
Mindless things, in other words, yeah.
Mindless. No, not they are, but they're important things. I wouldn't call them mindless. They are important things, but they don't require your full mental alertness. You know, you can do that. That's what I mean. Mindless, that means that it is useless activity. It's not useless. It is important, but it does not require my full mind to be present. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's a good point. Thank you. Anything else anybody has? Sharad, you have question or comment?
Yeah. There's a word that's used on page 88, Atma Anubhava. Is there much difference between Atma Anubhava, Atma Prabhava, and Aparoksha Jnana? Thank you.
Okay. Atma Anubhava can only be Aparoksha.
Anubhava means experience.
Anubhava means the experience. But people think that experience means in my meditation, suddenly I will experience a light or I will experience some vibration. So no, Atma Anubhava can only be a Paroksha Anubhuti. That means I, through my own eyes, through my own understanding. Guru, when a guru explains to you, that is Paroksha Anubhuti, Paroksha Jnanam. And his eyes, like what we are reading commentary, that is Swami Chinmayananda's understanding, his eyes, that is Paroksha Jnanam. Aparoksha Jnanam or Aparoksha Anubhuti is that final state of
merging
with the self, final state of enlightenment, where I and that Brahman become one. There is no difference. So that is Aparoksha Anubhuti. So Anubhav only can happen as Aparoksha, but Atma Prabhava, Prabhava means what is the effect of Brahman? What is the effect of Atma? So the effect of Atma is this world.
Yeah.
This world that we are seeing, Prabhava means it is its power, its effect, its manifestation. You know, they say, na uska Prabhava bahut hai. He has a lot of influence, lot of power. He's like the mayor of the city, so he has a lot of power in the city, uska prabhava bahut hai. So prabhava means the effect or the manifestation or its influence, its power, all that. So prabhava means that. Bhava means to be. Prabhava means to prakarshena be. To be means its full effect you can see. That is prabhava. Is that clear? Bhava, prabhava, and then atma bhava, swabhava. That way they say swabhava, only I can know myself as that. Not as an object, but as the subject. That's why Drig Drishya Vivek is a beautiful text. I think we are planning to do on Wednesday, study the group. Study group Wednesday. After we finish Vivek Chudamani, it will be maybe a couple of months, 2-3 months. Then we are planning to do Drig Drishya Vivek, which takes you from the object to the eye, to the mind, and then to the seer. Mm-hmm. It's a very beautiful text. Those who don't come maybe should start coming to the Wednesday study group, 8 to 9. Right now we are doing Vivek Chudamani. We are at the end, but you know, you can still attend because it is very similar to the Upanishads. But then we'll do Drig Drishya Vivek. That will be in a couple of months. Anything else? Lata, you have any question, comment?
You lost me when you said reflection of the sun in the water, and that water is mind and intellect for us, right? Mm-hmm. But and that it gets reflected. So what we are seeing the world through our mind and intellect right now, it's a reflected world for us, right? Right. An individual's reflection, because individual's mind and intellect is different, that I would see this world differently than you would see that.
Yes.
Is that?
Yes.
I mean, I've asked this question probably before, but
right.
Just want that clarification.
Yeah, we see the world based on our own thinking. You know, in the text you are doing, Yatha Srishti Tatha Drishti, you were talking
right.
about on Thursday. Mm. So one meaning is that if I am happy, then the world will look happy. Like I said, the rain is falling. And a person who is happy will say, even the heavens are blessing me, I am so happy. Mm-hmm. But if he's sad, the same rain, he will say, oh, even the heavens are crying because I am sad. So
right.
We interpret the world based on our thinking. Also, Yatha Srishti Tatha Drishti also means that whatever my vision, I create my own world based on my vision. So for example, an accountant, what will he do? His world is only of accounts, numbers, calculations, taxes, tax
returns. That's what he sees.
That's all he sees all day. And when he goes to a conference, he'll mingle with other accountants. A doctor, his whole life is patients, you know, lab work, body health, physical health, mental health, depending on his specialty. And so his whole world is medicine. Even he reads medical books, reads medical journals, goes to medical conferences. A lawyer, his world, he creates a world of law. So similarly, based on my mind and intellect, I create my world. So that is called the reflected consciousness, reflected in the mind and intellect, then allows me to create my world. So that is the reflection. Like the bucket, when it gets the light, it projects the light and illumines the room through the window. So same way.
But the point discussion.
If water is dirty,
right,
then the reflection won't be that bright. If the water is clean, the reflection. So the same way, if your mind is clean,
right,
your reflection. That's why people who have clean mind or the, you know, Swamis, their light of consciousness is very
bright.
Right.
That's why when you're in the presence of a Mahatma, you can feel his presence, you know, the light of consciousness. So, yeah, and if the water is agitated, then again the reflection will be agitated.
So same way, if our mind is agitated, then we
right.
don't concentrate.
So mind has to be calm and clean, both.
Mm. So besides the mind and intellect in that individual, what else is working through that?
Vasanas.
The vasanas are the one. Yeah.
Okay.
Vasanas.
That's the causal body is the cause for.
Yeah. The vasanas are the cause of the, yes, the subtle body and the gross body. Both we get based on our vasanas. What kind of mind we get, what kind of intellect we get, what kind of gross body. All is dependent on our vasanas and our karmas.
So the first chapter you covered is for us to know what is really originally that shine light that is in the example we discussed is the sunlight, the
right.
original light that came on the bucket of water that is our mind and intellect deluded by vasanas and all that. So for us, is to know that original light of that sun.
Yes.
Is that is
absolutely
original means in our right. case and, it is the Brahman.
That is Brahman and that is me.
That's right.
It's my
and then
nature.
One
again,
other
Brahman
question
is not the light of sun is far
yeah,
away.
Right.
So we
again.
Think Brahman is far away. Brahman is in me, me.
That is
and me means not that, not this BMI, but me that Om in the
yeah. That is illumining that sun also and illumining me.
Right.
My senses or my right. myself. And one question, it's always brings up the shrunu, ear, hearing part first when discussion happens. What is the significance of hearing ears in description of senses?
I think because the knowledge can primarily happen through the ears. Are you
it
talking
is, about? No, it is five elements. The space is the subtlest. And then comes the air. Then comes the
fire,
water, and earth. You studied the Tattva Bodh, right?
Yes, we did.
Is the subtlest of all the five elements. So that's why it comes first. There's only one sense organs, that the ears. Space does not have the other, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Space is the subtlest of all the elements.
Right.
That's why it comes first.
Right.
So even in the hierarchy, the hearing is given the most importance.
Yeah, because
then.
Shravana, see, Shravana,
yeah.
Manana, Nididhyas. Unless
yeah.
you hear from the teacher,
yeah.
hear means through the ears or you can read it. But even the reading is
yeah,
called Shravana.
Now you can see
right.
knowledge.
I'm thinking from even the children's growth perspective also,
yes.
right?
Yes.
That,
yes.
Oh, yes.
Children who are deaf, their mental development is very slow. So mind can only develop when the hearing is there. So that's why they say Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. So this knowledge can only be obtained through listening to the guru and who is interpreting the scriptures and then contemplating and then abiding in it. So Shravana is the first step in spiritual study.
Or even gaining knowledge. Any
in gaining
knowledge.
Knowledge, yes.
Even any knowledge. If you look at all the Pramanas, you know, we listen to most of our knowledge happens through listening, you know.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
Thank you. Ambika,
thank
you have
you.
Question or comment?
Oh no, I was thinking something earlier when you were discussing, you know, when you're talking about the vasanas and all, it all depends on your spiritual evolution, right? Like you... The same experiences are seen differently by different people depending on
exactly.
where you are at that moment in your spiritual journey. So everything may look the same on the outside, but the way you see it is totally different because of your past experiences and your vasanas and your spiritual growth. So I just had that thought at one time.
Absolutely. No, that's very
true. And also this knowledge helps because as you are gaining knowledge, then you make decision based on that knowledge. That's why it's important to have this knowledge. You know, by listening this knowledge, then you will respond differently to situation like you used to do before.
Okay, thank you. We can end here and then next week we'll continue the second chapter, which is a little more subtle and will need a little bit thinking.
The third chapter is just a story.
Third chapter is the story, so that is fun, that is easy. But the second chapter is hard. So hard means he tells. If you say you know, if you say you don't know, all that is very, it's very nice.
You have covered this. You can't say I know it, and you can't say I don't know.
You can't say I know it, and you can't say I don't know it. So that is what the guru is telling. So we'll end. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you very much. I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful to all of you. I have an opportunity to study all this.